Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to Brewcrew Online. I am Benjamin Orr, your host. Joining me tonight is Senior Staff Writer Lou Olson. Even though September is halfway over now, more than halfway over actually, the season's pretty much done at this point. The Brewers aren't going anywhere, but they've been playing some decent baseball as of late. 6-4 in their last 10. A series win against Cincinnati, a series win against the Cubs, almost a sweep. They start playing the Cardinals this weekend with a televised national game on Sunday night. So that'll be some fun, I guess. I don't know. It's never really fun to play the Cardinals. But hey, it's for spoiler. What we're going to talk about later in the show is Corey Hart and his wanting to return to Milwaukee, which is very interesting, and I think it could possibly benefit the team in certain ways. And then, you know, we'll just talk about whatever comes to our mind, you know, Brewers stuff. So let's start off talking about the Brewers, really, in this series win against Cincinnati, because this is huge. They're playing spoiler to every team they can right now that's at least in contention, and Cincinnati needs to win these games. They lose two of them. Lou, what does this say for Cincinnati, and really, what does this say for Milwaukee in this series?
Well, my wife and I, we went to the game on Sunday, and that was fun. I think what the problem with Cincinnati is going to be is as much as they relied on that bullpen last year, it seems to be their weakness now this year. I thought that Bronson Arroyo threw a really nice game on Sunday. It's a shame that it went down the way that it did. You know, but for whatever reason, they just caught the Brewers in a little window here where they just will not be denied. And, you know, today, notwithstanding, I think the Reds are done. I don't think that they're going to be able to stay, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to stay with the Cardinals and the Pirates. Not the way that those two teams are playing right now. Both the Cardinals and the Pirates are playing really solid fundamental baseball, and the Reds are just, you know, always a bridesmaid, never a bride for Dusty Baker.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati has what you would call probably a perennial team to get to the playoffs, but sometimes they feel a little bit mismanaged. The bullpen, like you said, hadn't been as strong, and it really hasn't been this season. And the Brewers, you know, crediting them as well, they really fought back, especially in Sunday's game. They just really have relied on their younger players to get the job done, and the younger players have been rewarding them with a lot of success. And maybe we shouldn't invest too much stock in September baseball, because maybe they're going on a, you know, as they call it, a runner's high, maybe a baseball player's high. These guys just got up here this season or are playing a little bit more than they thought they would be. So maybe they're just soaking that all in. So who knows how they'll perform next season, but it's certainly a good note to end on.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of kind of fun stuff happening. You have these young guys who, you know, who knows what their future is going to hold, guys like Sean Halton and Chris Davis. I, you know, personally, I'd like to see both of them, you know, as full-time contributors next year. Even Caleb Gindel the last week or so has been a nice little surprise. Aside from Logan Schaefer's insanely awkward-looking suicide bunt, to me, that guy just isn't a Major League Baseball player. He's a really nice bench piece when you need a suicide squeeze walk-off, but aside from that, I just don't see it. But it's nice to see the team not giving up. It would be so easy for them to pull a Houston Astros and just roll over and do what my dogs do, which is just kind of lick their crotch until they fall asleep. I mean, it'd be so simple to do that, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. It doesn't seem like they're content with that, and I like that. I love that, in fact, and it's something that was missing from this team when, you know, Aramis was playing every day and Ryan Braun was still out there every day. I mean, this team has some sort of fight to it now that I haven't seen in a while. Probably since the 2011 team, there's just a lack of, you know, nobody wants to say die, and I love that. I'll take young guys struggling but never giving up over, you know, guys who hit a lot of home runs but don't seem to care all that much any day of the week.
Yeah, because it definitely spells a lot of nice things to come for the future. And where this team goes within, you know, 2014, 2015, I don't know at this point. Nobody knows. But it's very nice to see these guys not giving up. You know, they're still trying to win. I hear an echo. There's a lot of fight out of this team, and it's really nice to see it. So,
That's all you can ask for, I think, as a fan, is guys who want to be there and they want to win. And I think that the team that Ron Renneke keeps sadly strutting out there, God love them. If you gave it to somebody who wasn't a Brewers fan, they'd look at that lineup and go, who? Like, to almost every name. But God love them, man. They are not going quietly into the night. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I would always rather have hungry young guys than, you know, veteran guys who are getting paid a ton of money. And so their incentive isn't there.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you look at this roster and guys like Unisky, Betancourt are still on this roster, it just kind of amazes me. Not really in the good way, but that also plays into the factor of injuries and different things that happen here, guys struggling. But, I mean, even Unisky Betancourt has been doing well as of late. I mean, he's hitting .375 in the last week. So, I mean, you get it from the old guys, you get it from the young guys. It's just, it's all around, it's really, like, a solid team. And it makes you wonder, had the Brewers put this together earlier in the season, where they would be. Obviously, they'd probably still be a ways away from contention for a playoff spot, but they might be hovering around the .500 spot. But, you know, you can't play the what-if game, because that's a very dangerous thing to go into, and your brain will explode, and nobody wants to have their brain explode.
Well, not right now. Well, maybe no. Later. Maybe later I'll want that. You know, I think you and I talked about it last week a little bit. I think it all just comes back to May. You know, had the team shown this kind of fight back in May, you know, I don't think they'd be in the playoff race, but at least we'd have a little something to pull for here down the stretch, you know. I think even with this team and this roster the way it's set up, if we can get to 75 wins, I think we should all tip our cap to this team for having an incredible season. Because 75 wins is something that I did not think this team would pull off.
No, we talked about how, you know, the September Brewers have always been awful. But this year, they started off, you know, bad. They were 1-4 to start off September. But then they just really found their way back from that. And it's been nice to watch it. And, you know, they have, like I said, the series with the Cardinals coming up, you know, this weekend. Then a series in Atlanta for 3 games, and a series with the Mets in New York for 4 games, and then the season's done for them. So, you know, it's been a real treat to watch them play in August and September, and, you know, looking at the roster now, this could very well be a lot of the same guys you'll see next year. I mean, with the Scooter Gennets, the Chris Davises, you know, these are a lot of people, even Sean Halton, I mean, you can throw into there. And I think these are guys you're definitely going to see again. They're not just one-time guys that are going to be sent back down to AAA Nashville. They're gonna make their mark on the majors.
Here's the thing about those three guys that you mentioned is that they aren't just like September call-ups. They're not just guys who are going to cut their teeth a little bit. These are guys who've been up and have been productive for a few months. It isn't just Scooter is not just some flash in the pan. It's not like he just came up in September, was scalding hot, and then now, you know, all summer we're going to speculate, or all winter we're going to speculate. The kid can play. The kid gets on base. He drives and runs. He's the prototypical leadoff hitter. He is a David Eckstein for a new generation, man. And that's not a bad thing. David Eckstein was a great player, and that's who he reminds me of, is David Eckstein all the time. Just he's small, and he's rugged, and he makes plays that he needs to make. And I mean, God, when was the last time we had a second baseman who did that? It's been quite some time.
He's a baseball player.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Jim Gantner was the last second baseman that we had who was like Scooter. And I know Justin is going to be like, Ricky Weeks is awesome. No, he isn't, though. His best days are gone, and they're not coming back. So if we're all just going to hang on and hope for Ricky Weeks to have a season like he did in whatever year that was, 2010 or 2011, it isn't going to happen. He had one great season and a lot of mediocre seasons and below average seasons. Scooter, even though I think that he maybe is playing a little out of his shoes right now, I don't think that it's unrealistic to think that he's going to bat 280, 285 and have a 320 to 330 on base percentage. And if you have a leadoff hitter who's getting on base 33% of the time, I don't know any team in baseball that's going to turn that down.
No, it's just, you know, looking around, really, where the Brewers have filled in nicely, second base, left field for right now with Chris Davis, you look at 2014, there are a lot of solid spots, and there are hardly really any blemishes when it comes to this lineup. And looking specifically at first base, you know, we'll transition now into talking about Corey Hart. Corey Hart, you know, said today that he's willing to come back to the Brewers for a significant pay cut. You know, he wants to play with this team in 2014. He'll do really anything to play for this team, which includes taking the pay cut and whatnot. And I really think that would be the best thing for the Brewers. I know I wrote an article about 2 months ago, I want to say, that said, you know, should Corey Hart come back with the Brewers in 2014? And I said yes. I've always wanted him back. Why? He provides a power bat in this lineup that Juan Francisco can't provide. And, you know, I think if the Brewers do re-sign Hart, obviously it'll be a win-win. It won't be for that much money, and hey, if he produces, he produces. Then they really won that deal. And then that obviously spells the end for Juan Francisco.
Here's his exact quote. I'll read it right off the press release. I told them I would be very generous to stay here. I wouldn't sit there and ask for anything that is outlandish. I would take a discount to stay here because I think I owe it to them to stay here and be a cheaper player. Because nobody wants to play for free, but basically I've sat there and watched all season. I think I owe it to them and the fans to come back. That's kind of what we're hoping for, but at the same time, you don't know what's going to happen. So that's his exact quote. That to me says that let's look at this realistically. He's a guy who's missed an entire season. Okay? He hasn't touched the field for any part of this season. He probably can be had and brought back for somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 to $2 million. And I don't even know that has to be guaranteed money. I feel like this is the type of situation where if he's willing to negotiate a much smaller salary and you're the Brewers, the way that our first base has begun to shape out, you have to listen to what he has to say and what his ideas are.
Yeah, because you have no options right now for first base. I'm sorry, Hunter Morris is not an option right now.
He probably isn't
for another good year. I mean, yeah, you could bring him up and have him play, but he's not a starter. That's why you need Corey Hart.
What you also have to think about, too, is with how Sean Halton has done at first base, which I think he's been more than serviceable as a first baseman. He's not a gold glove winner by any sense, but he's proven that he can hit, and he's proven that he can field the position. So to me, I think that it's a situation where you sign Corey Hart on the cheap, you bring him back, you let him and Sean Halton split some time until one of them sort of emerges, which is what a team that's trying to get back into the playoff race has to do sometimes, and then you just see what happens. It's a win-win situation for the Brewers now because he's publicly come out and said that he wants to come back, he wants to be a Brewer, and he's willing to take his words, not mine, significant pay cut. So, yeah, all of a sudden my picture of this team for next year changed within this afternoon. What I thought would be for next year now is completely different. I think it would be insane to not bring Corey Hart back. I think it would be beyond insane at this point to not bring him back.
Yeah, I have to agree with basically everything you just said. I mean, there's literally no way, shape, or form that I don't see the Brewers re-signing him because as desperate as they are for a first baseman and you have a guy who's saying, hey, I will take a lot less money to play for you. I mean, come on, you'd have to be an idiot not to take that. And you know that Doug Melvin and Mark Attanasio are going to do that. They're smart people. They know how to run a team. And people might say, well, no, they don't. You know, how come the Brewers aren't good? They're a small market team. That's why they don't have the luxury that the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers have to go out and sign people. So what they can do is they can sign Corey Hart, put his bat in the lineup, and then next year you have a lineup that potentially has Corey Hart, Ryan Braun, Chris Davis, Jonathan Lucroy, Carlos Gomez, Gene Segura. I mean, just this team is going to be one of the top teams offensively if this all can pan out.
I mean, when you list off the team, it's sort of amazing how quickly that one player can really swing everything around. I mean, you think about how sad things have gotten this year, but you think about what could be in it. I mean, with this situation with Corey Hart, it's also an amazing opportunity for Mark Antanasio and Doug Melvin to rebuild a little goodwill. Yes, they gave everybody $10 for every time they went to a game between such and such a date to make up for it. But you really want to make it up to fans. You really want to prove to them that you love this team and you want the fans to be happy. You have to bring back Corey Hart. Nobody dislikes Corey Hart, except for people who don't like his music. And I think that I Wear My Sunglasses at Night is a classic. So those people, they can have their own opinions.
Well, I think he only used that song when he was an all-star at the game. I don't think this is an actual walk-up song, is it?
No, I don't think it is either. I didn't even know it was his walk-up song at the all-star game. I just know that the guy who sang that song's name was Corey Hart.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
All I got for you.
You know, and looking at if the Brewers do re-sign Corey Hart, looking at what this would do for the team, Lou and I were talking about this in the pre-show. You know, Lou, you want to talk about that? About what it would do to, you know, like third base, second base, things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
It's like a ripple effect.
I think that by adding Corey Hart into the mix, you change the entire complexity of what the 2014 Brewers would look like. When Corey Hart was out of the picture, your best case scenario was Juan Francisco and now over the last few weeks, maybe Sean Halton. Those were your first base options. By no means great options, but serviceable, I guess. Then you move over to second base, and I think that because Scooter is not a power hitter, you still need a power presence. So I think that, you know, you have to hold on to Ricky Weeks. But if you bring Corey Hart back into the mix, and then you put him with LaCroix and Braun and Davis and Segura and Gomez, all of a sudden, Ricky Weeks becomes not just kind of expendable, he becomes completely expendable. Now he becomes something more. He becomes a trade piece. Sure, you're going to have to eat some of his salary. I think everyone agrees that if you move Ricky Weeks, no one is going to pay him the $11 million he's due next year. But if you eat $3.5 to $4 million and you can unload him to a team, I think you have to do that if you bring Corey Hart back. The other piece of that is the Aramis Ramirez piece. We signed Aramis Ramirez to a 3-year backloaded deal. This next year is the fattest part of his contract. Now, we don't really have a lot of third base options. However, it is entirely possible to let a guy like Sean Halton, a guy like, even though I hesitate to say this, but a guy like Juan Francisco, or even a guy like Jeff Bianchi, learn to play third base. You have a couple of guys play the position during, you know, have them prepare for it. Have them play in the spring at third base. Then all of a sudden, Aramis Ramirez becomes expendable, and then what you've done is you've opened yourself up to bring in additional pieces if somehow you're in the hunt, which, if you bring back Corey Hart, it's not out of the realm of possibilities for even a second. All of a sudden, now you have a legitimate leadoff guy in Scooter. You have one of the best number two hitters in the game, Gene Segura. You have Ryan Braun back. You have John LaCroix. You have Corey Hart. You have Carlos Gomez. All of a sudden, you have this lineup that is flush with offensive talent. And it's just kind of like, what do you need Aramis Ramirez and Ricky Weeks for now? What purpose do they truly serve? In my opinion, they just don't serve one at all. I think that by bringing in Corey Hart, it makes those two guys completely and totally expendable.
I also think that it makes Juan Francisco expendable because,
I think Juan Francisco's expendable right now anyways. Well, I mean,
yeah.
He's really played him. I mean, the fact that he let a guy like Sean Halton and Jeff Bianchi, you know, beat him out for playing time should really tell you all you need to know. Like, the way that he started off as a Brewer gave everybody a lot of hope, but then, you know, in 20 at-bats, you're striking out 14 out of 20 times. That doesn't instill a lot of confidence in anyone at any level. So, and he was a waiver claim pickup, so if we dump him, we're not out anything, really. So he's expendable one way or the other.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at who could play third, like you said, either Sean Halton or Jeff Bianchi, I mean, I'd be fine with either one of those options, but, you need to give them consistent playing time, whether that's in winter ball, whether that's in spring training. You know, that's not for me to make the call. But with the way, especially Sean Holton's been hitting, you have to at least consider him at third, because if Sean Holton hits at least like 260, 270, and he's the weakest part of our lineup, then you're not doing too bad.
I mean, here's what over the last week has really swayed me on Sean Holton. I kind of liked him. I liked, you know, I liked his swagger at the plate. I liked what he did with the bat. But, you know, hitting a walk-off home run is not something that, you know, a guy who isn't ready to play in the majors can do, unless you're Brooks Conrad. There's an exception to every rule. Speaking of which, everybody, the podcast will come out tomorrow. I'm also going to unload the Hall of Brewers We Won't Miss nominee number 3 tomorrow. Hint, hint, it's that guy. You know, so he's fresh on my mind. You know, and then the Grand Slam, here's where the Grand Slam is what really flipped me to Sean Holton, because he hit that to the opposite field, which is something that I had not seen from him yet, which was opposite field power. Whenever a guy can hit to the opposite field with power, to me, that means that he is a major league hitter. Because most guys who are just good hitters are pull hitters, and they cannot hit to that opposite field with power. That Grand Slam by Sean Holton, that was a nice clean strike that he pushed to the opposite field. And to me, that pushed me over the edge. I think that you have to at least consider Sean Holton as a possibility at third base, even though I know he's never really played the position. I think you have to do what you did with Corey Hart going into last year, which is you groom him to play third base. And then, yeah, if the worst player on your team bats 265, 270 and hits 15 home runs, that is not a bad thing. It's not like a negative. It's not going to hurt your team.
No, it really isn't. And I mean, obviously, this is all, I guess, hypothetical, because we really don't know how it's going to factor out, how everybody's going to do. I mean, Carlos Gomez and Gene Segura are going to continue on the way they've played this season. And I'm not trying to be, you know, negative here. I'm just trying to be realistic. You know, we don't know how it's going to play out. But with the way Jonathan Lucroy's played, especially with the way Scooter's played, with the way Chris Davis has played, you know, they've really picked it up. And I mean, Lucroy in particular, out of those three, just really, he started off his career as, like, you know, an okay, decent catcher, and then he's really, you know, writing his name in this top 3 to 5 catchers that you can really rely on with the bat. And yeah, I mean, if this all plays out nice and well like we want it to, the Brewers are going to be one of the best offensive teams next year, like they were in 2011. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. Obviously, the pitching still has a lot of issues to iron out, but, you know, if the Brewers do sign Corey Hart, you know, like you said, it creates such a ripple effect for so many possibilities to open and so many things that a team can work with that can't hurt. I mean, you keep Ramos Ramirez, you keep Ricky Weeks, you're not helping this team at all.
Nope.
So, in other moves the Brewers have made, today they designated Blake Lawley, for those of you who remember him, for assignment, to make room for pitcher Josh Ravin, who is with the Cincinnati Reds in their minors. I don't believe he's made his debut. Hasn't had a whole lot of success in the minors. 15-46 with a 5.30 ERA. I doubt we'll see him. And the Brewers did sign a pitcher from Boston, I believe, about a week ago, Jose De La Torre. So I don't know if those are going to be guys to really keep an eye on. But
nope, probably not.
Probably not, but hey, we're pitching, I guess. So, well, we're going to do a little segment we haven't done in a while because, you know, we didn't know if it would work out with two people, but we're going to do Defend Your Tweet. And, Lou, I'm sure you already found one by now because I've tweeted a lot.
I sure did. You're a weird person. All right, Ben. This one's very recent, actually, and it jumped out at me. I went through about 2 weeks' worth of tweets, and this is still by far the one that I need you to either explain to me or defend. And keep in mind, I'm older than you, so you're going to have a really good defense on this. Benjamin Orr, 22 hours ago, you tweeted, "I'm 95% sure if Google didn't exist, that humanity would completely stop functioning as a whole." Ben, defend that tweet.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, there are so many people that rely on Google. I mean, how many people do you know use Google search as a way, or just even Google, as a way to spell check things? I do it all the time.
I don't use it for spell check.
Okay, well, I do. I know a lot of other people do. I mean, obviously Wikipedia is up there with different things, you know, for search engines. But
I don't use Wikipedia for spell check either.
Well, no, I don't use Wikipedia for spell check. I just spend needless hours on Wikipedia reading stuff. But my go-to thing is Google. It's not Yahoo. It's not Safari. And it sure as heck isn't Bing. I don't know. I feel like Google is such a vital part of not only, I guess, people's lives, but of the internet itself. It's a main thing because, you know, how many home pages are sent to Google? How many people go to Google to, you know, look something up? How many people say, I'm going to Google this? They don't say, I'm going to Yahoo this. I'm going to Bing this. It's, I'm going to Google this. You know, Google that. Let's Google Corey Hart stats from 2010. Let's Google Carlos Gomez's walk-up song. Things like that, you know. People use Google, and if it didn't exist, the internet would not exist.
Okay, follow-up defense. You said you're only 95% sure. It sounds to me like you're pretty sure. What's up with that other 5%? Is it for old people like me who remember when Google didn't exist and we had to use encyclopedias?
Yeah, I think it's for that older generation that isn't too Google savvy. So, yeah, I think that 5% fits in, but I think the overwhelming majority of people fit in the 95%.
So. Ben, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you have actually been in a library and used the Dewey Decimal System? That's kind of what I figured. All right, your turn.
Well, Lou, you don't tweet a whole heck of a lot, so...
No, not lately.
I'm going to find one from August, actually.
I know. Whoa. What was I doing in August? All right, go ahead.
On August 30th, at about 12:23 p.m., you tweeted to John Axford. This is after his trade. John Axford's mustache auditioned to be Chewbacca in Star Wars, but George Lucas said he was too hairy.
Mm-hmm.
Defend this.
I mean, this is one where I absolutely do not need to defend it. That is actually just a fact. Wikipedia, I put it on the Wikipedia page for both John Axford and for Star Wars. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true.
But you'd get away with it if you did.
His mustache is too hairy. It's way too hairy to be Chewbacca. There's just too much. And it's too bristly, probably, too. There's just too much. It's just too good. It's too good for Star Wars. Way too good for Star Wars.
Well, I mean, newer Star Wars. Older Star Wars, no, because old Star Wars had Chewbacca.
That's true. What other John Axford mustache facts did I tweet that day? See, I don't even remember them anymore. I never remember them. I go back and I read them, and I completely forget that I created those, because I just, my brain works that way. What else you got? I think there are better ones for me to defend than that.
Yeah, you know what? Let's do two of them. You find another one for me, and I'll find another one for you.
All right.
I know
what other one I'm going to use for you, but let me find it first. This is great radio, us looking for other people's tweets. us looking through each other's tweets.
Okay, I found one for you.
All right, go ahead.
I read this Oklahoma State story for the first time when it was... Or, I'm sorry. I read this Oklahoma State story the first time when it was at the University of Miami. College kids love hookers, money, and cars. Hashtag, who knew?
Well, the hashtag was sarcasm. I should have also put hashtag sarcasm. I mean, the easiest way to defend it is just by saying I don't know why people are so surprised when these investigations come out now, because nothing could ever top that University of Miami investigation, where like they were buying kids boats and they were like filling the boats with hookers and strippers and like. They were buying the kids cars, and they were buying houses for their moms, and it's like, the kids at Oklahoma State were given a 1996 Toyota Corolla. Jesus, who cares? I don't care. Like, there's no possible justification that anyone can give me that any school was worse than what Miami was doing back in the glory days. That's all. I was really just poking fun at Oklahoma State because I really just think that it's foolish. Like, okay, your players received money, and they got a few hookers from time to time, and they got some cheap, shitty beers. Oh, whoops, that slipped out.
It's cool. All
right. Oh, can we edit that? No?
Don't worry about it.
All right, moving on. You're right, nobody listens to this anyway. So, I mean, really, I was just saying that because I just don't care. Like, I appreciate the writers who did all the work on that story and did all the digging, but the real honest truth is that I just don't care because I've already heard this story once. It'd be like if another college football player had a fake girlfriend, I would tweet, I liked this fake girlfriend story a lot better when it was Manti Te'o's girlfriend. Who knew? Hashtag who knew? Hashtag sarcasm. Because it's the same story. I don't care. I've heard it already. So, there. I defended it.
Very well, and to the death.
This one I want you to defend because I don't know what you're talking about. 4 days ago, do I have a timestamp on this? Yes, at 7:43 p.m., you tweeted this whole, quote, beard, unquote, thing with the hashtag Red Sox is getting old. I don't get it. Defend that tweet.
Okay. So when the Yankees and Red Sox play, because that's the only thing that's ever on,
right?
It gets really tiring after a while. Every time I watched their games for the past, like, 3 months, mm-hmm. all the announcers would talk about would be Mike Napoli's beard or Johnny Gomes' beard or all the beards that they have in Boston. And mm-hmm. they would just talk about it and talk about it. And I'm like, shut up. I don't care about their stupid beards. I'll go to Boston.
Hey, don't talk about beards that way.
I'm not, but it's just...
You most certainly are, sir. You are playing with fire.
The thing is, though, I don't want to hear about their beards all the time. Yeah, one or two times it's cool, but I don't want to hear about it every time the Red Sox are on. All right, so annoying.
Quick question. If you had to listen to them talk about beards or about Derek Jeter, which would you rather listen to? Okay, that answered that question. If you had a choice between them talking about beards or Alex Rodriguez's failed relationships with ladies, which would you rather hear them talk about?
I'd rather go deaf.
Okay, that's not an option though. So you got to pick one. Again, I feel like you're overreacting. Beards are a beautiful thing. I understand that whoever was commenting, probably Joe Buck, was talking about beards every 5 seconds.
Actually, no, it wasn't even Joe Buck, because since he's doing the NFL games now, he doesn't
that's
do
right.
Fun.
He doesn't.
You know, it was Matt Vasgersian and Tim McCarver and...
Oh, well, that's the problem right there. Yeah. Tim McCarver was on the broadcast. Tim McCarver can't tie his own shoes, for God's sake. Tim McCarver doesn't... If he sees a grizzly bear, he doesn't remember if he's supposed to lay down and play dead or poop himself to scare it away, so he just does both at the same time. Tim McCarver is an idiot. The fact that Tim McCarver is a television broadcaster gives me hope that mentally handicapped people can one day compete in the regular Olympics. Tim McCarver is a joke. He is Harry Carey, but without being funny. There's nothing good about Tim McCarver, and yet Major League Baseball continues to run out. You weren't mad at the beards. You love beards. You were mad because Tim McCarver couldn't shut up about the beards.
No, he wasn't the only announcer to talk about them, though.
Matt Vasgersian can talk about whatever he wants.
Well, no, it was different broadcasters from different channels. It just wasn't Fox. I mean, we're talking like MLB Network.
For the sake of my rant, let's just assume it was only Tim McCarver.
Well, Tim McCarver did like the majority of it, so that's fair.
Because Tim McCarver doesn't know how to talk about anything else.
And then, of course, the fellow people at ESPN kind of went off on that. And I'm like,
we don't count them ever for anything.
But I'm like, what is the big deal with these beards? I'm like, okay, they have beards. Let's move on. And they just won't. I don't get the fascination with it.
I mean, Johnny Gomes' beard is pretty impressive. Let's call this what it is. Some of those beards are awfully, awfully grisly.
And here's the thing with the Red Sox, just Mike Napoli in particular, is just he's so sloppy looking. The button down shirt and just I'm sorry, the Red Sox are a very sloppy looking team. And this is what one of the Red Sox announcers on Nesson said. He goes, Well, Mike Napoli can't button up his shirt or else will constrict him and he won't be able to swing properly. Honest to God, that is what he said.
Well, maybe that's true.
How?
Because he's fat. Because they play for the Red Sox. They're drinking beer and fried chicken in between innings. They gotta have room to expand.
Two buttons is not gonna constrict him from breathing and unable to bat.
Benjamin, have you ever been to a Thanksgiving dinner? Sometimes two buttons is the difference between life and death, son. Life and death. You gotta let go of this thing. I know that you hate the Red Sox. We all hate the Red Sox. Quick funny story. I'm surprised you didn't pick this tweet. We watched, my wife and I watched Moneyball the other night.
I saw that, and yeah, I thought it was a little too self-explanatory.
My wife hated the movie because at the end he didn't take the job with the Red Sox. And to be honest with you, I guess I hadn't really thought about it because I know so much about baseball, but to people who don't, like, realize it, like you see the amount of money that he turned down and it's to go coach to GM for the Red Sox, it is a really stupid way to end that movie. It almost doesn't make sense, which is too bad because I really like that movie. I think it's a great movie. I love the story, the 20 consecutive wins and all that jazz. Like, I like the movie, but, like, I now all of a sudden I have a different feeling for it because of the ending. Because, you know, somebody offers you $12.5 million, you can either take that job or keep coaching or keep being the GM for a team where the frickin' toilets back up into the dugouts once a year. It's kind of like, why wouldn't you take the better job? And so it was hard to, like, justify his logic to my wife because I was like, at that point in time, they hadn't won a World Series in almost 90 years, and they had a history of keeping GMs and coaches around for, like, a year or two and then axing them. And I was like, his daughter was in California and blah, blah, blah. And so, like, once I explained it, it made sense, but she did not care for that movie because that ending is super anticlimactic and kind of dumb when you really think about it.
I have never seen that movie.
But my friend Casey Bond plays Chad Bradford in it, so that's cool.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I did not.
He sent me, when he was doing press for it, he sent me a picture of him as Chad Bradford and he signed it. Yeah, he's an actor, but he used to be a minor league baseball player back in the day.
Very nice.
Yeah, and he plays Chad Bradford in that.
Huh. Well, that was, an interesting session of Defend That Tweet. Very riled up at some points, but that's what the Red Sox do to me.
It's good radio. It's good radio.
That's what the Red Sox do to me. That's what the Cardinals do to me. And strange enough, that's what the Phillies do to me, because I hate Philly.
I just hate Philadelphia fans. I don't hate the Phillies. I hate Philadelphia fans.
Like, here's the thing with Philadelphia. I don't mind the Phillies themselves as individual players.
Right.
The year after they won the World Series, no, even 2 years after they won the World Series, when they lost the next year to the Yankees in the World Series, it's like every day the Phillies were on. And, like, they're not that good of a team. Halliday's hurt. Hamill sucks.
Yeah. But there was a period of time where they were like...
Well, yeah.
That team was preposterous.
Yeah, they had, like, the best rotation in baseball, and Roy Oswalt was actually
still
relevant.
I'm talking about the year they won the World Series when they beat us. Their offensive lineup was just staggering. Up and down that lineup, you just went, I don't want to face any of these dudes. Not a one. Because on any given night, any of those guys would destroy your team. Whether it was Pat Burrell or Jason Worth or Jimmy Rollins or Chase Utley or Ryan Howard, it was a no-win situation.
Yeah.
What I hate is Philly fans. There is a writer who will remain nameless and will probably never listen to this, so I don't mind talking about it, who, when I first took over for the site, we did a cross-site thing, and he was a super dick. Like, all his questions were about the 2008 NLDS and about how terrible the Brewers were and how great the Phillies were. And I was like, how about we talk about stuff that's going on not 3 years ago? How's about that? And then, like, after it was done, I told him, I was like, dude, you're kind of a dick. And he was like, no, man, I just love my team. And I'm like, yeah, until they start losing. It was like, and then you'll abandon them and call them bums and won't go to any games. I was like, I know your type, Phillies fan.
Yeah, Philadelphia fans are just... disgusting.
You know, they did a thing about, like, the best and worst fan bases. They do it every year, and I'm always surprised that Philly is not the worst. Because I have one of my best friends from growing up lives in Philly, and he said that he can't stand Philly sports fans. He said that they're fair-weathered, that at the first sign of adversity, they want to fire everybody, and they give up on the team way too quickly, and I don't know, maybe it's because I wasn't raised that way. Like, you just love your team no matter what, no matter how horrible they are, how terrible things get. So, I don't know. I don't like Philly fans. Well, I just don't like Philadelphia sports fans. Yeah, Phillies are fine. Phillies don't bother.
For anybody who of our listeners that watches It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, I do love that.
I do love that show. Look how they react when the Eagles play or the Phillies play. We're not kidding you. That's how Philly fans are.
Yeah, that's very accurate as to how they actually behave.
You know what's very disappointing about that show, though? It's not even filmed in Philly.
Well, part of it. Some of it is.
Well, a little bit, but it's mainly filmed in Los Angeles.
It's mostly filmed. Well, yeah, all the bar stuff is filmed in Los Angeles.
I was kind of disappointed by that, and I'm like, oh.
That's how all TV shows are. Don't be disappointed.
Well, I know, but I don't know.
I mean, except for, like, The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad. Well, actually, all AMC shows shoot pretty much where their stories take place, but...
Breaking Bad is so good.
You know, I've never watched it before.
Oh my god, you have to.
Yeah, I saw you tweet the crap out of it the other day. You know what? Here's the thing is that I'm going to have to watch it from the beginning, so I'm not just going to, like, start now. I'll binge watch it one day and get hooked like I have with every other show I've been watching lately. I just did that with The League now, too.
The League is really good.
I get so addicted to shows. I binge watch a few and then I'm done.
How far are you in The Walking Dead? Have you actually watched The Walking Dead?
I watch Walking Dead every week. I've been watching that since the very first episode.
See, this is why we need our other podcast to start up soon, because we have to talk about this stuff, and it won't be on the air with the Brewers.
Oh, so. Brewers fans like The Walking Dead. Everyone likes The Walking Dead.
So we do need to start another podcast. So
yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah. So heading finally off of the Defend Your Tweet and extra discussions. One thing I want to talk about, and I know this isn't going to make for much of a discussion because we beat the hell out of this earlier this season.
Look at that, another curse word. We're up to two in this one podcast.
I know. Huzzah. We're going to get banned off the air.
We're rebels.
If any of you know, and I know a lot of you are still very, I don't know what to say, hurt, angered, whatever. Ryan Braun visited the Brewers the other day and, you know, they were very receptive to him. Ron Radke was very happy to see him. And a lot of this came with Corey Hart also being there as well. And, you know, like I said before, Ryan Braun can find the cure for cancer, AIDS, and save 300 people from a burning building, and people will still hate him. I don't get why. You know, I understand, you know, the whole, yeah, he lied and pursued a guy, and the guy lost his job. I understand that, but nobody's perfect, man. So, could he have gone about it better? Yeah, but, you know, the fact that he's, you know, calling fans, showing up at the dugout, supporting his teammates, even though they're in a, you know, a terrible season right now. I mean, say what you want about Braun. I think he's making strides to, you know, have the community forgive him.
I mean, he's always been good with public relations, Ben. We know that. It's something that he's very good at. He's very personable. The problem that I still have with it is that I don't believe that he's sorry for what he did. I just think he's sorry he got caught.
Well,
and
yeah.
That's going to take me a lot of time to get over. I believe that he's sorry, but I don't believe he's sorry for what he did. I just think he's sorry that he got caught. And that is the part of it that I think is always going to cause me some grief and some sense of doubt. Whenever he has a great season, I'm always in the back of my mind, I'm just going to be like, that was a pretty great season. Do you have any extra help? Maybe some lozenges? Number 8? You know, and I mean, his life will never be the same. He got bought out of both of the restaurants that he owned in Milwaukee. He doesn't have any ownership in Graffito or in the terrible Aaron Rodgers Ryan Braun sports bar. That's basically just Applebee's, but with their name on it. And it's just kind of like, I feel bad for him because his life has been ruined, but he should have just manned up. It's very simple. If when that positive test happened, if he just would have taken his lumps it wouldn't be nearly this bad and everybody would just move on, because historically all of the baseball players who have just taken it have come out on the other side fresh as a daisy. But the ones who lie about it are the ones that we just can't let it go. You know, it's hard for me because I am sort of on both sides of the coin. I feel like to keep Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Palmeiro and Maguire and Sosa out of the Hall of Fame is just so counterproductive. It's just so pointless. But I also feel like the ones who lied about it, and we know lied about it, shouldn't be allowed in the Hall of Fame. And it's just kind of, I don't know, it's hard. There'll never be a right answer, and it'll never be okay. And there'll always be debates about it. But Ryan Braun will be hated for the rest of his career. It'll never go away. Ever.
Yeah, there's nothing he can never do to justify really anything. I mean,
you said curing AIDS. I mean, that would probably help quite a bit.
I don't know. There are so many people that will be like, oh, he needs to give back his MVP award to Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp does not deserve that award. I'm sorry.
Matt Kemp is kind of a douche. I feel like if Ryan Braun cured AIDS, though, he'd get a whole new fan base out of, like, Africa. So that's pretty cool. Matt Kemp, you know what?
Oh my god.
Matt Kemp can blow it out his a-hole. That guy pisses me off every day. You know, the beast mode thing, it's kind of like, you know what? I don't think that you really came up with that. And now all of a sudden that's like your nickname, which I think is really stupid. And I just think, you know, if he would have been more humble about it, I probably would feel like he deserved the MVP trophy. But since he was like, somebody give me my trophy, now I'm like, nah, you suck. Go eat a bag of dicks. Leave everybody alone. Why don't you get a sheep, move up into the mountains where you won't bother anybody. Just leave us all alone.
You have all these players when it came out, you know, either not defending Braun or just being really mum about it. Like, you had, like, David Wright, for example, said, you know, Braun's a great guy, you know, he's a great guy to play with because, you know, they played in the All-Star team together. He was like, you know, I hope he can come back from this, stuff like that. You know, you kind of have Troy Tulowitzki from Colorado saying the same thing. But then you have Matt Kemp, who's just like, yeah, I deserve the MVP. Braun should give me the MVP. And I just lost all respect for Matt Kemp when he said that. I really did.
Yeah, like, it's such a dick move. Like, it's one thing to be bitter and jaded about something like that. Like, I absolutely understand if Matt Kemp would have been like, nah, you can keep the award, but I'm really pissed off about it. Again, I would have just been like, maybe we should just give him the award. But it's like, when you're like, that's my award, he cheated. Jesus, dude, really? You know, Hank Aaron didn't walk.
Yes. I'd be okay with that. I'd be fine with that. Yoenis Cespedes, who won the home run derby, Josh Donaldson, Grant Balfour, Kurt Suzuki, he went back there. You know who I'd like to see the win the World Series, but it's not going to happen because I think they're going to fall off. I'd like to see the Rangers go for it, but that's not going to happen. I think Tampa Bay and Cleveland.
Just no bueno.
And I want to know why that is. I don't think it's all because Josh Hamilton left. I just don't know why that offense
It's because Josh Hamilton left and Nelson Cruz took his suspension like a man.
Well, Lance Berkman's hurt, too.
Yeah, Lance Berkman's hurt. So it's a lot of pieces missing. No offense, but Elvis Andrews is not some sort of offensive powerhouse.
No,
Ian Kinsler's good when he has a supporting cast, but when it's just Ian Kinsler versus the world, that ain't gonna happen.
It's really become Adrian Beltre versus the world though in Texas.
I like Adrian Beltre. I liked him when he was in Seattle. I still like him now.
And the thing is, like, Texas has done a complete, like, 180 with the team. Because with them before, their offense used to be so good and their pitching sucked. But now their pitching is great and their offense sucks. It's just funny how that works.
You can never win with those things.
But yeah, I agree. I think the A's would be a nice fit.
I'd love that. I'd love to see the A's win the World Series.
No, you know who I really would like to see get into the World Series?
The Pirates? The Pirates?
No, not really. Oh. I mean, it'd be cool if they get into the playoffs, so that'd be really cool.
I think they're going to.
The Braves.
No, I don't care about that.
I do. I like the Braves. You know, I think...
Oh, see, you missed the glory days of the Braves, though. That's why. To me, the Braves will always be the Tomahawk Chop and Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux and John Smoltz and Fred McGriff and, like, I don't even know if you know who these people are. I know you do. I'm just teasing you. But like, when were you born?
92.
Yeah, see, like, the glory days of the Braves was, like, when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and you were 2, 3, 4, and 5. So, like, to me, I don't want to see this incantation of the Braves make it to the World Series.
Unless
Fred McGriff is gonna DH in the American League split games.
No, if anyway, they'll probably use Evan Gattis, who's been a monster.
Evan Gattis is no Fred McGriff, my friend.
No, but he's been a monster this year for them.
Or let's see, who else was on those teams? Ron Gant and Otis Nixon, and oh man, that team was Dave Justice for a while. That team was freaking insane.
I remember Dave Justice.
Dave Justice on the Braves.
They called him Choo Choo.
Yeah, Dave Justice, man, he was awesome. Well, he was an Indian for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was a Yankee. Yeah,
and he was a Brave. I'm trying to think of where else Dave Justice played. I know he played in Oakland. Dave Justice played
a lot. Did he play with the White Sox?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he played for the White Sox. I'm trying to remember.
No, he played with all the teams we mentioned. Braves, Indians, Yankees, and Athletics.
There you go. Yeah, but that team was awesome. They finally got their World Series, which was nice, but man, I remember they were in the World Series every year, and they almost always lost. That was happening the same time the Buffalo Bills made four Super Bowls in a row and lost. The Braves and the Bills were like the saddest teams ever. We just wanted them to win so badly, and they could never pull it off.
And somebody said, they go, what if you reversed all the Super Bowl outcomes from, like, you know, 85 on? And you'd be like, there'd be a Bills dynasty.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. That's weird to consider.
It's strange to consider.
Very. But no, it should be a fun postseason. It really should, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, Boston just clinched. LA just clinched. Detroit probably is going to clinch. Oakland's on their way. Atlanta's well on their way, and then there's the Central.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I mean, there is no clear-cut winner for this division, and I don't think there will be until the last week.
No,
the Brewers could do some serious damage though against St. Louis.
I would love that. Nothing would make me happier than for them to just steamroll the Cardinals after being slapped around all season to finally just put them in their place for a change. Man, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I mean, you're going to have whoever wins the Central in there, and then you're going to have the next two teams in the Central fighting for that fourth spot. So it's literally the National League Central has taken over.
I think the Cardinals and Pirates are both going to get in. I'm not even worried about it at this point. I think they're both going to get in.
Yeah.
God, I hate the Cardinals. Unbelievable.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
I just... How can they continue to be so good all the time? Like,
they've got that loaded farm system too.
It's not fair. I hate them.
There's no justice in the world. There really isn't.
No.
So, anything else you want to talk about before we move on to our last segment?
No, we could talk about the Kyle Loesch umpire thing today, but it's just going to make me mad, so let's skip it. It was a good week. I don't want to end the conversation part on a negative note. So let's go to the wrap up.
Let's go to hitter, pitcher, and goat of the week.
Let's bring it home.
All right.
Let's see. Hitter of the week. I'm gonna go Sean Halpin. That's an easy choice. Pitcher of the week, Tyler Thornburg, because I like his wiggle. And goat of the week, Burke Badenhop, just because I don't like him.
You had, well, I had one of the same. It was, I had Sean Halton as my header. How can you not pick Sean Halton? Like,
with the week he had? Pooh, I don't know. I don't know how you could not pick him. Grand slam and a walk-off homer? It's a tough one.
Pitcher of the week, I'm going to go with Jimmy Nelson.
On what grounds? Defend your pitcher of the week.
Well, he's only pitched in 5 innings in the major so far. But he pitched in 3 of them in the past week. Has not allowed a single run, only 1 hit and 2 walks, and he struck out 4.
Kid looks good. I mean,
for being the top prospect in the organization, I said this, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago. Don't invest any stock into what Jimmy Nelson does in the postseason in September,
postseason.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Because you look at Willie Peralta last year, who did tremendous in 2012, September, and then just flat out sucked for a good part of this year. And has picked it up, sort of. But, Jimmy Nelson, I think he's done well since making his debut, and hopefully he continues on with this in the spring training, and he might find himself on this 25-man roster next year. I don't know if it'll be at the start of next year, but I think it'll definitely be sometime during next year. Yeah.
We didn't get that kid a nickname, because Jimmy Nelson is, like, the most bland, boring name ever. I'm not going to come up with a nickname for him. Team Ramrod.
That is a good movie. Plus, he's from Niceville, Florida. So, there's that. I didn't think that was actually a place, but I guess Niceville, Florida is actually a place.
I also didn't know that that was a real place.
But, go to the week. I don't know. I feel at this point, I feel like picking him just hitting a kid while he's down. But I can justify this. I'm going to pick Juan Francisco. And it's because
he didn't play all week?
Well, that. And the reason why he's not playing, because he lost his job. Because he flat out has sucked. And the only thing he can do is strike out as much as Ricky Weeks does. Like, literally, his last 10 games that he has played in, he does not have a hit, and he has 7 strikeouts.
Awesome.
1 walk, so he's gotten on base at least once.
Can you say all-star? I mean, he can't.
You mean MVP, right?
MVP. And I started chanting that when we were there on Sunday at no one, like, during the half-inning break, just to see what would happen. It didn't go well.
Just a side note, I'm not going to say who posted this because they're a national writer, but they did say that Mike Trout shouldn't be considered for the AL MVP because his team isn't a contending team, and I kind of just thought that was the funniest thing in the world.
Wait, he said that he should not be considered?
Yeah, because he's not on a contending team. I'm sorry Mike Trout's pitching stuff blew out on him and the rest of his team can't hit. The MVP
I'm so
isn't
sick of this. The I'm MVP so sick isn't of this freaking baseball purist horse crap.
It's an individual award. Like, I mean, you look at the Cy Young. They don't do the Cy Young the same way. Look at Felix Hernandez, who won it 3 years ago. Seattle sucked, and he still won the Cy Young. So what merits do they have,
like,
to give
are
that
you
to
serious? The... Are they just doing this so they can give it to Miguel Cabrera? Like,
probably.
Because if they are, fine. Just all of the writers just come out and say, by the way, the voting is rigged. We're going to vote for Miguel Cabrera. Don't write articles about how you're going to vote for Miguel Cabrera because Mike Trout isn't on a winning team. Who gives a crap? If anything else, Albert Pujols was awful. Josh Hamilton was abysmal. If anything, he should get the award for keeping his team afloat all season. Like, in my opinion, if Mike Trout is healthy, Mike Trout will go down as the greatest baseball player of my lifetime. I don't see any other route for this other than that. The guy is amazing. He's an amazing baseball player, and I wish so deeply that the Brewers had him.
You know what I found out was when, you know, when I was watching one of the 1,000 Yankee Red Sox games, when the Yankees traded for Mark Teixeira, they traded, I believe, a pick to the Angels, which that pick in turn ended up being Mike Trout.
No way. Yeah. That was not worth it.
No.
That was not worth it. Mark Teixeira, is he still a baseball player?
Yeah, he's out for the rest of the season with a wrist injury, I believe.
Oh, see, I feel like I bought a car from him down at Teixeira Toyota. That's weird. That's a joke, Ben, at your expense, unfortunately.
Yeah, I went way over my head.
Oh, did it? Really? It wasn't a very good joke, Ben.
Well,
Teixeira Toyota, it's a joke about how he isn't playing baseball anymore, that he's selling cars now instead, because that's what most athletes do when their sports careers don't pan out.
Yeah, that had too long of an explanation to it, but I give you credit, though.
Yeah, it wasn't my best work.
It certainly wasn't your worst.
Also true.
So, there's that. You know what the good thing is about the rest of this season, though? Is the Brewers will not lose 100 games. That stupid guy that comments on our article sometimes, he's like, oh, the Brewers are going to lose 100 games this season. I'm like, no, they aren't. And look, they're not going to.
That guy, I don't know about that guy. He's just a good old-fashioned troller. He just likes to feel super important and pretend like he knows a whole bunch of stuff. Whatever. I like chatting up those types because they're usually pretty stupid and easy to manipulate. So, it's cool.
Yeah, so...
He did say that, and then he wanted credit, and I was like, yep, you did it. Congratulations, you predicted the Brewers would not be good. Wow, what a crystal ball.
Yeah, we all didn't see that happening after, I don't know, the third
game. We made the playoffs 2 times in 30 years. Wow, you are some kind of sorcerer.
Wow, we lost, like, half of our team to injuries, so... You know...
Congratulations. Yeah. I'll be sure to send your award in the mail immediately.
Speaking of awards, what's the news about Derek Turnbull autograph ball for the Fantasy Baseball League?
Question. I was doing pretty good, but I'm losing. So, I don't know. Once I'm out, I don't even care. You'll have to retrieve that from Colin, but he's going to owe somebody that Derek Turnbull ball. So, he's going to have to pay up. He has 3 of them. He can sacrifice 1 ball.
Why would you have 3 of those?
Don't ask me, man. Ask former RTB senior staff writer and editor Colin Bennett. Don't ask me. I don't have any Derek Turnbull signed balls. The only autographed baseballs that I have are from Hank Aaron, Frank Thomas, and then I have one from when I was a kid that's signed by a bunch of miscellaneous random guys like Chris Bosio and Pat Listache and a bunch of other weirdos. Jesse Orozco. None of these names mean anything to you, I know, but...
No, Jesse Orozco sounds familiar.
Well, he was an Indian for a long time.
That might be why. Wow.
What? What's wow?
Just, why would you have 3 Derek Turnbull autograph balls? I just don't get that.
I don't know. I don't know.
So I think this is the first podcast in a while that we actually managed to stay on topic with baseball.
Kind of. I mean, it wasn't our worst effort.
I take that back. You talked about TV shows.
Yeah, see, it wasn't our worst show. It wasn't like that time we took a week break and then came back and it was really bad.
It was
so
a disaster.
Still doing pretty good. But, you know, next week is the last podcast of the Brewer season, though, so that's pretty sad.
It is. I'm feeling it right now.
I'm probably going to get super drunk. We'll have to try to get the rest of the boys on there. I'll get to work on them tomorrow. I'll be like, listen here, college students. I don't really care what you're doing on Thursday night. You need to be on the podcast because it's the last one of the season.
I'm sacrificing my college life for you people.
Don't tell them that. Don't tell the listeners that, Ben. They don't need to know that. I'm sacrificing time with my sleeping dogs who are both sleeping in the same room as I'm doing the podcast.
Sleeping Dogs, that's a good game, by the way, if you ever play video games.
I do, but not often enough to know what Sleeping Dogs is. I am aware of a game called Grand Theft Auto 5 because it seems like every person I know is wasting countless hours of every day playing that game.
I've wasted about 5 on it already.
See, there you go. I don't know. I like video games, but I'm not super into it. Plus, I have a Wii. because I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a huge, video game person. Just, I don't know. I like playing sports games, and I like playing Mario games.
Mario's
fun. I like my wife and I play a great game. It's called Drunk Driving Mario Kart. So what it is you crack open a beer or you have a drink, and you have to finish your drink by the time you finish your last lap. But here's the catch. You can't drink while you're driving. So you can either sit at the finish line or at the starting line and pound your drink and then drive, or you can like take intermittent breaks, but you cannot drink while you're moving. So your cart has to come to a complete stop before you can drink. It sounds absurd. It is so much fun, Ben.
We should try that at the outing.
It is so much fun. We just call it Drunk Driving Mario Kart.
We need to try that next year, Lou.
Awesome time. It's super fun, and you get incredibly drunk. So, like, by the fifth or sixth race, you don't really need to drink it during the game anymore because you're literally drunk. And then it's literally Drunk Driving Mario Kart. If you've ever wanted to simulate what drunk driving is like without actually drunk driving, this is the closest you're going to get.
Yeah, we're doing that, so...
It's fun. I like it. We do it at family events sometimes. It's a great time. Always fun.
Well, for you listeners out there, the number one thing that we want you to take away from this podcast right now is do not drink and drive.
Please do not drink and drive. But if you are going to drink and drive, do it in the safety of your own home by playing Mario Kart. Or Grand Theft Auto 5 or whatever driving game you choose to play.
I was going
to
say, how big is their house? They can literally drive in it.
Nope, just do it. Do it through the power of video games.
Exactly,
like driving a real car, anyways.
Driving cars in Grand Theft Auto is work. I'm not gonna lie, that is hard to do.
Well, anything worth doing is worth doing right. So you should probably pound a 6-pack and get to Grand Theft Auto.
Well, I gotta wait about 2 months.
Oh yeah, all right, sure thing.
Yeah, that's another thing. We don't condone underage drinking.
I mean, you don't.
No, I don't. I never will.
I have no comment.
All right, with that, I feel like we're finally end of the podcast. So, as we said, next week will be our last show of the season, or the baseball season. After that, we're probably going to go to the same format we did last season. Two times a month. Though October will probably have three, since October is extremely long. So after that, we'll probably have two in November, maybe two in December, and then January we'll have two, February two. And then once spring training starts, we'll probably go back to our regular format, but we'll see. So thank you all for listening, and stay tuned next week.
Stay tuned for last week's podcast.
Back to the future. So thank you again, folks.